Welcome to the Plain Nibble Podcast, episode 61.
Hey!
You want me to shoot this son of a bitch easy?
And it's really starting to piss me off, Dave, because I can't cry for my own little daughter, and I can't even cry for her. Jimmy. You're crying now.
Hello, and welcome to the Plain Label Podcast. I am your host, Rachel Zelag, and along with me, I have my good friend and co-host, Eric Amelia Williams.
Hello.
In this episode, we continue our look at murder mysteries with a discussion on the films Devil in a Blue Dress and Mystic River. But before doing that, we'd like to mention we are proud members of the Deliberate Noise Network. Head over to deliberatenoise.com and check out some of their other shows. All right, it's drink roll call time. Grapefruit and vodka.
Oh, no. You know, after promising that, I haven't gone to it yet. I'm actually having, once again, from the Lucky Bucket Brewing Company, I'm having their seasonal ale, and it is called the Belly Flop, and it is a strawberry blonde ale, so it's a little, it's sort of similar to your Leinenkugel's Summer Shandy orange beer type of, that sort of.
Except for it's got strawberries in it?
I guess so.
That sounds pretty badass.
It's not too bad.
Oh.
Yeah, it's pretty good. What about you?
Well, earlier Brad was making me dinner and he had to put some dry white wine in there, and I thought I would drink that out of the bottle, but it honestly wasn't that great, so I just switched to God's beer.
The old God's beer. Explain to the people what that is.
It's Coors Light in a can.
Yeah, of course it is. Yuck. Yuck.
We don't have anything. We're leaving on a trip, so we didn't buy any groceries.
And you prefer all of your booze to be fresh.
Well, and I'm hoarding the Yingling because we can only have one of those like a week. Ooh, I should text my sister and tell her to bring some for me.
There you go. Okay, well, I think that's enough of that.
Okay.
We're going to move on to our first film. It is from 1995, and it is Devil in a Blue Dress.
So, you want the job?
It depends on what kind of job it is.
I'm just looking for somebody.
Dusty Monet.
Fiance of Todd Carter. She likes jazz and pig's feet and dark meat. Know what I mean?
An offer he should have refused.
Why don't you tell me about your friend, Dad?
Colored woman ain't good enough for you no more, honey.
What time did you leave Greta James' house this morning?
What you mean?
She's not going to be waking up, Ezekiel.
A mystery no one wants solved.
The incumbent mayor, the chief of police, close personal friends of mine.
That's good, Mr. Carter. Anything can help us find it.
No, they can't.
In a world divided by black and white.
What do you know about a dead white man in a cabin over in Laurel Canyon?
Easy Rollins has just crossed the line.
This is Daphne Monet. You looking for me?
Do you know who I am?
I know you're running for mayor against Todd Carter.
I am the next mayor, Mr. Rollins.
If you connect a mole to two murders, you're going to do whatever I tell you to do.
We know you know more than you're letting on.
Unless I get the cops to kill it by tomorrow morning, I'm going to jail.
Who killed him, damn it?
Denzel Washington is Easy Rawlins. Devil in a Blue Dress.
It's 1948 in LA, and Ezekiel Easy Rawlins, an African-American World War II veteran, is looking for work. At his friend's bar, he's introduced to a white man, really, DeWitt Albright, who's looking for someone to help him find a missing white woman assumed to be hiding somewhere in LA's black community. This woman, Daphne Monet, happens to be the fiancée of a wealthy blue blood, Todd Carter, who's currently the favorite in the city's mayoral... How do you say that?
I don't know. It's Mayoralty.
Let's just say mayoral race, because I know that's a word. Daphne Monet is known to frequent the black jazz clubs in L.A. Easy innocently accepts Albright's offer. However, he quickly finds himself amidst murder, crooked cops, ruthless politicians, and brutalizing hoodlums. This is a Chandler-esque whodunit with an African-American theme.
Yeah. So, I was teased during a different recording for the Filmographies podcast that I do with Cameron Rice about how our murder mysteries have so far all been book-based.
Oh, really?
And he's like, are you going to do any that are not about a book? And I said, well, I think, Mystic River that we're doing is, but I don't think the other one is. And then I looked, and sure enough, both of them based on books.
Do you want to know why? Because why? Most of the best murder mysteries were probably written as a book first, because when you get a bunch of normally people writing a screenplay, they're like, oh, let's do all this dumb shit.
What about Who Framed Roger Rabbit?
Oh my God. Wow. that's the only thing you have. That's your example.
Well, I mean, come on. There's, The Prestige, Usual Suspects, there's a bunch of other movies that are murder
but
mysteries.
Those weren't really murder mysteries.
Well, okay. Regardless, we already did those movies anyway.
Yeah,
so this is Devil in a Blue Dress. This is my selection. This is actually a film that I have never seen before this. I had picked something originally that was it's an Asian film, and I was, thinking maybe this will be like Old Boy Part 2.
Oh, is that what you were trying to do?
No, and I was like, well, maybe she'll either really like it or at least it'll be a fun discussion knowing how much she doesn't care for it. But the more I thought about that film, the more I realized it wasn't really a murder mystery. It was just, it's more of like a murder and then revenge kind of a film.
Oh, okay. Okay.
So I just kind of looked at some well-regarded murder mystery films that were on Netflix, which is much easier for us. And this is one that came up. It's one that, I had heard of before, obviously with Scott Denzel Washington in the main role. And it's got, directed by Carl Franklin and written by Carl Franklin, who's done a few films that I like, mostly with, Denzel Washington, actually.
Interesting.
Yeah. They apparently work well together. But so this is a first watch for me. How about you?
I had tried to watch this, a long time ago, and I think I got into the first 5 minutes, like, I was young when I tried, and then I was like, I don't understand what's going on, so I stopped, but so yeah, technically this is the first watch for me,
okay.
Too.
And what did you think of it?
It wasn't my favorite.
Sure.
But I wasn't like, oh my God, this is awful. It reminded me of kind of like, just from the setting, it was like older kind of noir trying to be.
Yeah.
Except for it just didn't have some of those like, old detective novels and movies have that, it's almost like over the top. And
sure.
This was
it's a little heightened.
Mm-hmm. Right. And this was trying to be that while also trying to be a little bit like serious and down to earth kind of thing. And so it just didn't have enough oomph for me, I guess.
Yeah. I think that's exactly, I think that last statement there is exactly where I'm at. I feel like it is kind of trying to live in both worlds, with the reality and with the sort of heightened noir of it all.
Yeah.
And what it ends up doing is the actual storyline and the actual murder mystery isn't particularly engaging.
Yes, agreed.
And then, you do have a mystery of who killed this woman towards the beginning of the film, but that's not really a big point necessarily. Like, you find out and you're like, oh, really? That guy did it? All
right. Right. That was almost like, that was like a detail to move the plot along.
Yeah, and so I think while some films can languish in the You're just in this world and just enjoy the environment and these characters. This one was set up to be a plot heavy, like, oh, this is going to happen and then this is going to lead to this and you're never going to believe this twist or, you know, when you find out the mystery, right. Real shit. But then it never really went that way.
I agree with you completely.
So I don't know. Like, I liked it fine. I just thought it was kind of like, well, all right.
Yeah, I wrote, overall, I could give a shit less about anyone in this movie besides Don Cheadle.
Mm. Yeah, now Mouse is fun. He's a good time.
I like Tom Sizemore's character, too. He was kind of, you know, bad at it. Like, he played it well.
Sure, yeah, I liked him at the beginning. When he's being more manipulative and you're not sure what he's like. Once he gets to be a little mustache twirling and a little, ooh, I'm the big bad guy. Once he starts doing that, I'm like, I don't know. Like, okay, like, I guess. But I liked it better when he was more, like, dangerous because
pulling
he
the
didn't
strings.
Know.
Yeah.
I do like how they do the flashbacks, though, when he, you know, this is another in the films that were based on books that have narration in it. But I do like the way that they do kind of like a mind like flashback to where the flashes will be really quick or he'll be hearing someone talking and it's not like you don't go and see a scene of what he's seeing. It's just kind of real brief.
Yeah. So I think that worked. Completely spoon fed to you.
Yeah. Yeah. So that was good. I do like, some of the lines in here I thought were good. It's when he's at the club and he's kind of trying to find Daphne and, he's talking to the woman that's murdered and
later
it's before they sleep together, you know?
Right.
And he's talking about his buddy and her husband or boyfriend or whatever, the big heavy black man that he carries
home.
Right.
That keeps passing out.
Yeah, that keeps passing out. And she says, they're talking about him, and she says, that old cock don't crow nearly so much now.
Yeah.
And I thought, that was one that Annelle and I particularly enjoyed. She's like, oh, you gotta write that down. She's like, that's a good one.
What about, where are all the white women at?
Yeah, where are all the white women at? That's a good one. I like that.
He didn't say it nearly as well as in Blazing Saddles, though.
Yeah. Same. I do enjoy when I kind of like that Easy isn't a traditional hero and that he doesn't always do the right thing.
Yeah.
Because, you know,
he bangs his friend.
He bangs his friend's woman while he's passed out in the other room.
Right, but he did carry him home, so, like, technically that's payment.
Yeah, it's like, hey, you owe me one, so I'm just gonna take it out over here.
Well, and I know this was before Training Day, but, like, ever since I saw that, I've always had trouble, and, like, Flight, I've always had trouble with the Denzel Washington, true and just routine.
Oh, okay.
And so, like, when he was doing that, I was like, okay, you know, that makes sense, yeah.
You're more comfortable with him being that kind of a character?
Well, having some flaws, like I
as opposed
know.
To like
Superman or something like that.
Well, was the football movie? Remember the Titans.
He was still a hard ass in that too.
Yeah.
He made mistakes, he got emotional.
I
mean, it's football, so I understand, but
sure. I do like that he when he's sleeping with a woman, first of all, she's like saying you're hitting my spot too much and that's uncomfortable. I was like, yeah, well, that's enough.
She ultimate dick teased him. Like, I can't even.
Yeah, that was ridiculous.
I think I gasped. I was like, oh, hell no.
Yeah, because he's like, okay, we're almost done here. And then she's like, oh, hey, by the way, we shouldn't be
I here. Need some info from you.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, my God, I'll tell you anything you ever wanted to know ever.
Yeah, because he's doing the nah, baby.
Right, yeah, right.
Just trying to be, just trying to talk her, say whatever he can at that
right.
point.
Right. Well, I mean, I don't understand. It's not like she's playing coy because, I mean, come on.
Right. Yeah, so that was a scene that I liked. I thought that was good.
Yeah.
I did like when he meets the, not Todd Carter, but the other guy that's going to...
I am the next mayor.
When he, yeah, I liked when he met that guy. And he meets him in the car, and the guy's actually really nice at the beginning.
Yeah.
When he's picked up. And he's kind of against type because he's like this big fat guy. But he's got this kid and he's super nice to the kid. And I'm like, mm-hmm. Oh, okay. This is a little against type because I had anticipated him being like a complete jerk.
Right. Like a cutthroat politician.
Sure. Sure. And so, you know, ultimately we find out that that's what he is like. But at the beginning, I was like, oh,
right.
I'm glad that he, and then, you know, I was glad that he wasn't like that. And then when he turned out to actually, you know, be a pedophile, and that's what all this is about. And I was like,
then you're like, oh, the super nice to the kid makes sense.
Yeah. I was like, oh, okay. Jorge is like having a rough go, actually.
So. Right. I was more concerned of why I don't have a car with suicide doors and curtains and a driver.
Well, you definitely need the curtains.
Because I'll be drinking in there.
In the back.
Right.
Brad, drive me around, Brad.
Oh, my God.
We're just at home. We don't have anywhere to just drive me around.
We're just sitting in the driveway. Gas is super expensive.
Yeah. Just turn the car on. Just turn the radio on. I don't want to waste that gas.
My favorite is, okay, so let's get into the Daphne part.
Okay.
I started writing down the name of the casting director in these movies, so I have somebody to hold accountable for.
Oh, I like that.
Because, like, sometimes I get, but this one was pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
For 1995, you know, obviously in 2014, it would be, everyone would be kind of different, except for Don Cheadle could probably be the same person, and that'd be fine.
Yeah, probably.
But I immediately thought of Kerry Washington as Daphne because that girl looks half black.
Jennifer Beals?
Yeah.
Well, were you surprised that she wasn't flash dancing all over the place?
Well, I wanted to at least say what a feeling, like sneaking in there.
Yeah.
Nothing.
Not a damn thing.
But, like, you're supposed to be surprised that, like, her brother is, like, that she's half black and, I mean, like, she just, I don't know.
Yeah, anyway. I mean, that would be like putting Jessica Alba in there or something.
Yeah, and oh, like, good call.
Yeah,
good call.
She's half black.
Right.
And?
Fine. Yeah.
You know?
But my other favorite part is, like, he is describing her to, I can't even remember, somebody, and he's like, yeah, she had on a blue dress. Oh, that's her. Mm. Like, she's the only person in LA that is allowed to wear a blue dress.
Yeah.
Like, now, legitimately, that's what he said.
What about the title of this? Because Devil in a Blue Dress, I figured she would either have...
be super manipulative.
Have been doing something. As opposed to engaged to a... mayoral candidate
that she just loves so much
and has a brother that's black,
right? So. Like, I thought, like, super manipulative, like, as soon, because I mean, and that's the other thing about, like, the whole noir thing is like, think of, like, Sam Spade stories where he's a detective and some broad walks into his office and gives him this spiel, and it turns out that she's been pulling the strings the whole time, and, yes, like, that's what this sets you up for, and it's really just should be called, like, really sad half-black woman in a blue dress.
Yeah, because
it doesn't roll off the tongue as well.
Right. Yeah, it's gotta be, oh, this sounds snappy, so we'll use it, but she's not a bad person, she's not really manipulating anyone.
No, not at all. Like, she tries to get him to go find those pictures, but it was, like, for, you know, she wasn't trying to screw anybody over. She was trying to save herself and her fiancé, who she loved. Like, it had nothing to do with, like, her trying to be devious in any way.
Yeah. So, I wasn't super pleased with the title. It's also the title.
Either.
It's also the title of the book, which is interesting. And this is actually one in a series of books written by Walter Mosley that has Easy Rollins as a detective. So,
okay,
it must have done well enough to where, you know, he kept writing that. Or,
God, I learned the hard way that just because they're turning a book into a movie doesn't mean the book is good.
Yeah, or, you know, no one was telling him to stop, so he just kept on writing them.
Right, that's also true. He probably lived with his mom who really... No, I'm sure these books are fine. Like, I'm sure I could read this book and be okay with it, but...
Sure. But yeah, so I did have in the notes here that I really did enjoy Don Cheadle. This is one of the earlier roles for him, and he was great. Like, he seemed like he was at least having a lot of fun.
Yes, and my two favorite lines for him were, I didn't have time to tie him up, and right. If you didn't want him to get killed, why did you leave him with me? Right. Yeah. Like, that's your fault.
Yeah. Yeah, and I shouldn't say, I mean, this is one of his, I guess I should say breakout roles, not early roles.
Sure.
Because he's been around for a while. But yeah, I did really like that. I think that that speaks a lot about the character is, you know, if you didn't want him dead, why did you leave him with me?
Right. Well, he just, like, shows up and he's like, I got a gun. Who do you want me to shoot? I can shoot anybody. I'll shoot at people, around people. I just need to shoot this gun off.
Yeah. This gun definitely needs going off. It's just a matter of who is it going off at.
Yeah. So, well, I mean, and so, like, cool. So after that, like, getting back to basically the end, I when they were wrapping up, I'm like, all right, let's get it over with. Because I wasn't invested really in Denzel's character.
Right.
And I wasn't invested in, I mean, the only other long-standing, I guess, characters are, like, the girl and the mayor, both of the mayors. But, like, I didn't give a shit about either of those two either, so.
Yeah, because, Joppy ends up being the guy that kills Coretta. And
right.
You don't give a shit.
No, I didn't care.
And you're like, okay, this guy that we've seen in three scenes who doesn't say anything is the killer.
Yeah, and maybe that's why, you know, the book is better because the book always gets to play it out more and build relationships, you know. Mm-hmm. So maybe it is, but.
I don't know.
I'm not going to read it, so I don't care.
Yeah, so.
How about that?
You know, I thought that, the only other thing that I thought was towards the end of the film, you know, I'm trying to let the film be what it is, not trying to guess along with it.
Yeah.
And I did write down, I was like, damn, is this tree guy up to something or what?
Oh my God. What did I write? Yeah. Who the fuck is the weird tree chopper? Are they that rare? Like, I thought he was like trying to sell them for tree scrap.
Yeah, it's like a window washing thing to where it's like, hey, I just did work for you, now you have to pay me.
Except for he's cutting down trees that he just planted.
Well, that one I thought was, yeah, she was head in a planter and he's trying to chop it down.
Like, so weird. So I thought that was really random. But he did help him out, I guess. Like, yeah, there's a guy behind you.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
And I thought it was funny how, like, he's proud of owning his own house and then, like, everybody just shows up and breaks in.
Yeah.
Like, almost every character in this movie is in his house at one point or another.
Mm-hmm. Might want to invest in some better locks.
Right? ADT.
Okay. That's what I'm saying. All right, well, that's kind of what I had to say about Devil in a Blue Dress. Like I think we both are agreeing on, it wasn't our favorites, but it wasn't something that was, you know, a hard sit or anything, I didn't think.
No, it was easy to follow, and it wasn't Old Boy by any means, but it wasn't also LA Confidential, so.
There you go. Yeah, it was almost like, you know, the setting reminds me of LA Confidential.
Yeah.
Just that whole LA scene. And.
Well, and that's what I was, and that's why I was so disappointed, but I should have known that LA Confidential is so badass that, like, I shouldn't have tried to set myself up for that. Cause,
there you go. All right, well, let's move on to our second film. It is 2003's Mystic River.
Hey, Divine. What you looking at?
The old neighborhood.
There are places that make us who we are.
Save!
I used to play on this street when I was a kid.
Really?
Moments that give us hope.
Do not make her laugh. Where have you been?
Feelings that make us question our beliefs. Fears that trigger our darkest emotions.
It's my daughter's car.
Is that my daughter in there? Is that my daughter in there?
Yeah! Oh, God!
For a couple seconds on Saturday, she looked at me like she was preparing to never see me again.
You don't think I'd have hurt her, do you?
She isn't hurt, Brendan. She's dead.
I loved her so much.
I know in my soul I contributed to your death, but I don't know how.
I'm gonna find him before I police him. I'm gonna find him and I'm gonna kill him.
You know what I was thinking about? Vampires. Maybe one day you wake up and you forget what it's like to be human. Maybe then it's okay.
You're not making any sense.
Sometimes I think all of this is just a dream, you know?
How about you tell us what really happened Saturday night, Mr. Boyle? And why's your wife acting like she's afraid of you, huh?
Everyone is weak. Everyone but us. You can rule this town.
We bury our sins here.
Run! Run! Dave, run! Run!
We wash them clean.
During the summer in 1975, Dave Boyle and two friends, Jimmy and Sean, are playing on a sidewalk in Boston when Dave is abducted by two men and subjected to sexual abuse over a period of several days. Eventually escaping but haunted into adulthood by his trauma, Dave becomes a primary suspect when Jimmy's daughter, Katie, is found murdered. Sean, assigned to investigate the crime, finds himself facing both demons from the past and demons in the present as the circumstances surrounding Katie's death are uncovered.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so this is the Clint Eastwood directed film. It is it was based on the book written by Dennis Lehane, who also did Gone Baby Gone and Shutter Island, and he has a new film called The Drop, which comes out this fall, which has Noomi Rapace from the original Girl with the Dragon Tattoo in the second Sherlock Holmes film, and Tom Hardy as the main character. So that's why.
Let's just side note super quick. Did you enjoy Gone Baby Gone?
I did.
Which is, this movie reminded me of that, which is weird.
Yeah, it's all that Boston.
Boston. I freaking loved Gone Baby Gone.
Did you?
Like, I thought the whole, like, after, like, the, immediately after I watched it, I was like, what? But then I'm like, oh, I get it.
Just had to think about it just for a minute.
Right. Well, you know, there was an Affleck in it, so, like, I had to get past that.
Yeah, you're like, oh, what is this? Well, and the main Affleck directed it, so.
Right. But yeah, okay. So we both like that.
Yeah, it's good. So yeah, this is Mystic River. This is a film that I own. This was actually your selection though. So what is it? Why did you pick this one?
Cause I was going for, you know, cause I picked a lot, not a lot, but like in my head, I had a lot of like older movies in mind and this was semi newer. Like
sure.
Without delving too deep into it, I don't think I've watched a new murder mystery where I've been like, oh my god, mind-boggling. So I had to go back a couple of years.
I do like that you keep the mind-boggling going. I like that.
What? It's like you have to put your mind in a bottle. It's so crazy.
It's good. But this is one that you liked. Did you see this in the theaters or did you just catch it?
I must have caught it. Like I didn't watch it in the theater, I remember. But Brad had never seen it. And so he watched it with me for the first time.
Nice.
Yeah, so he was excited about
it. So what did you think on second viewing or third viewing or whatever?
Or fifth. Well, I forgot a lot, actually. So I must have only seen it a couple times. But, like, right at the beginning, they're playing baseball, and I had it flashbacks when they go try to get
the storm drain,
out of the storm drain. I was like, oh, my God, don't go in there. People die down there.
Tim Curry's down there. I know it.
I know. Well, like, it's so weird because I remember Tim Robbins being weird, but I couldn't remember exactly why. And I'm like, oh yeah, that's right. So like that had to come back into play for me. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Can we not watch a movie about child abuse like next time? Can we make a pact?
Hmm.
Okay. We'll think about it.
Well, yeah, we'll put it on the table.
Like if there's time.
Yeah, I really enjoyed this a lot, actually. I was, you know...
Obviously you've fucking seen this before.
Yeah, I own it, but I hadn't... It's one of those, you know, I enjoyed it when I first saw it, and then I see it on sale somewhere and buy it.
Yeah.
And then you watch it maybe once or twice.
Right, you don't put it in and, you know, go clean and have it on the background.
Yeah, this is not a feel-good, like... not like I'm throwing Major League in and just, you know... But yeah, I think that opening scene is just terrifying. We have the pretend cop slamming on the car, and they're doing what you're sort of told to do and trusting the police officer, and especially when they very deliberately have the slow-mo hand come over the back of the car into the back seat.
Yeah, that is frightening.
And it shows the priest ring.
Yes.
From the guy in the passenger seat. So I'm like, oh, we have a fake cop, we have a fake, or real, I guess we don't know.
Right.
Clergy member. You know, wouldn't put it past him kind of thing.
Right.
Sorry.
Wouldn't put it in front of him either. And that is so weird though. Like, okay, so Tim Robbins is like the jailbait. Mm-hmm. He just like goes and takes it. And then like both of those two guys go completely separate ways because of that.
Right.
So it's so weird that Kevin Bacon decided to be a cop.
Yeah, it's strange. You know, well, I guess before we get into that, when they're finding Dave.
Yeah.
I did make a note of this father or someone who, you know, they're like, he went, where? Oh, that doesn't make sense.
Oh, yeah, they're drinking the beer.
Yeah, when they're talking about, I guarantee he doesn't go 2 for 4 tonight.
Yeah, yeah.
But anyway, one of the fathers or one of the parental people, he says, they find Dave and he says, he looks like damaged goods.
Yeah.
I'm like, what a terrible thing to say. It's like,
yeah, I don't even think he said he looks like. I think he just goes, damaged goods, like that.
Yeah. And it's just, I'm like, oh, what, fuck this guy. Like,
it's like so, like, coarse. And
yeah,
it's just, I mean, it's just building that world.
Right. And so I saw that and was just kind of like, ugh, like, what? Why aren't you, like, you don't even feel good for this kid. It's like he's...
You don't even feel sorry for this guy.
Yeah, it's like he's damaged good, so he's not even worth anything to this father even now. Or to this person.
To this whoever. Yeah, I think it was like, I don't think it was a father, but it was somebody who obviously knew him.
Yeah.
Well enough to, I mean, good. And then you, like, want him to be okay, because, the next scene they show him, and he's with his kid, and... But then he does his weird Tim Robbins stare thing, and you're like, oh, he is damaged good.
Yeah, he is crazy. You know, that's when I saw that, and he walks by, and he's like, oh, you know, this is the old neighborhood, whatever.
Yeah.
And he sees the concrete, and I'm like, if you were Dave, wouldn't you just move? Like, why would you be in a place that would remind you of that event all
where
the time?
Where you walk by, like, every day. Like, oh, hey, that's where I was kidnapped and then raped.
Yeah, here's the beginning of my rape story. You want to hear it again? Or because we're walking by it.
I'm reliving it all the time.
It's terrible.
He could move to, like, L.A. He could move in with Easy. I'm sure he has, like, a open room or something.
He should have been the guy trying to cut down trees.
Right? He would have been great. Tim Robbins is huge.
Yeah, he is. So I did want to say that something about the child casting. Now, I think Dave resembles Tim Robbins, like young Dave.
Yes, also Jimmy Fallon.
Yeah. And so we have Jimmy and Sean, and they don't look anything like I thought what they would.
No, and whoever did that, casting director, whose name I said, damn you, but didn't figure out the name, long story short, they're like, casting Jimmy based on Sean Penn's hair.
Yeah.
Which is ridiculous.
Well, he was really, like, naive looking, and it just didn't fit to me.
He looked like he had brown eyes and, like, a little button nose, and...
Yeah.
They didn't do anything that had to do with the face. They're like, oh my gosh, this kid has slick back hair. You're in. You're in.
Well, and Kevin Bacon was even worse. It's like this little Irish redheaded kid.
Yeah, almost. He's a little ginger.
And then,
at least, like, yeah.
Yeah, then I see Kevin Bacon, and I'm like, what? That doesn't look like him at all.
No, it doesn't.
So that was strange.
Yeah, these people would not be good at, you know, doing the milk carton thing about what they would look like now, for sure.
Right, yeah. Yeah, I do really like that in the way that this film is done, especially in contrast to Devil in a Blue Dress, that everyone is more real than normal.
Oh, yeah.
You know, everyone is still speaking, you know, as, you know, speaking with memorized lines, but it sounds more realistic.
Oh, yeah. It's not like I'm walking up to my spot and putting my hand on my hip and saying something. It's obviously way more, yeah, realistic.
Yeah, it's just got that naturalistic feel. It's not like I'm watching a noir film and it's yeah. like...
Well, yeah, see, I mean, yeah. almost all the yeah. actors... Yeah, yeah, see? Yeah.
you know,
Nobody
and
Nobody says
and
that. Right, is that my daughter in there, see?
Yeah, is that that would have been much different.
Right?
Yeah. I do. I mean, I can appreciate films that are like that because you're, you know, everyone is like that in the film. So that's
right. And so it's okay.
That's how far, but it just struck me as so grounded in this.
Yeah. It's so, well, I mean, it's a Clint Eastwood movie. So, I mean, everybody's like that. Everyone is, even though some of the characters are caricatures of people, they're still played like real people.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes sense.
Okay, good. Didn't make sense to me.
the next thing I had was that I really like Dave telling the story and talking about what happened to him.
Oh, I didn't.
Because, well, I mean, I liked that it was done well, is what I mean.
Oh, okay.
Because I think that when he's telling that story, you know, he's obviously told it a lot, but he is in that story every time he tells it.
He is. Well, he's in that story every day of his life.
Yeah, because you hear him, you know, later, especially at the climactic scene where he's telling, he's doing the run and,
yeah,
you know, and
he's losing his shit.
Yeah. So I think that while it's a tragic character, I think that that is particularly well done to at least demonstrate what this person's dealing with.
Yes, for sure. How come Tim Robbins is always getting blamed for murdering people?
I don't know. It's just what he does.
It's like, hey, you guys got any movies where you want me to play an innocent guy? Do people think you... No? Okay. Let me know.
You know, and one of the things that I forgot about the end of this is I forgot, until about three-fourths of the way, who actually did it.
See, I didn't, but I forgot why.
Mm. Yeah.
Are we gonna spoil or what?
Oh, sure. This is a spoilers.
Okay.
You know, and so, it, we'd already said that it's, you know, Jimmy's daughter, Katie.
Right.
Is found dead, and we have the whole, the Sean Penn chewing up the scene, like, is that my daughter in there? And
yeah,
just screaming
that,
and hyperventilating.
That was still hard to watch.
Yeah. That, I mean, I watch it, and if I try to watch it in, like, how he's doing it acting wise, I can make it. If I think, like, given my current situation about that sort of thing happening, it's like, oh, I don't want to think about that
anymore. Yes, and I do that too sometimes. I, like, separate myself, but, like, that was really tough to watch.
Yeah, and so at the beginning, when you're first introduced to what's happened, it's clear as day that the way that it's told, the way that it's portrayed, that Dave did it.
Yeah,
right?
Well, that's what Brad said, like, he comes home with blood and breath. Well, Brad had, like, hopped in, like, right after the kid scene. So he thought that I was, like, halfway through and I was really, like, 10 minutes in. And so he comes home with blood. He's like, oh, my God, he fucking did it. Like, he was trying to figure it out. I'm like, nobody knows yet, Brad.
Don't figure it out yet. Yeah.
But I didn't realize that, too. I wrote that second time around. Because, like, when I were thinking back on this movie, I remember being like, and the huge twist is that they think for a little bit, but they make it so obvious to make you try to think that it's him. It's super obvious.
Yeah, it's. I mean, it really is. It's, you know, and I think that Marcia Gay Harden as Tim Robbins' wife is particularly good.
Good at being awful as a person.
Well, yeah, I mean, she plays Celeste, and she is, you know, she thinks her husband did this. And
which to me is just a breakdown of communication in your relationship.
Yeah. And so if Brad came home with blood all over his hands and the kid,
I would help him hide the body and we would fucking figure it out.
Yeah. It would be like, have you seen 21 Grams?
No.
Okay. Well, there's Benicio del Toro has an accident,
so disgusting.
And some people die. And the wife just says, you know, you get do what you got to do, but I'm cleaning up this vehicle, kind of a thing.
Right. I would be more like Laura Linney in this movie, where I would be okay. Only my Boston accent wouldn't go in and out.
I was gonna say
solid.
It would be a little wavering.
Yeah.
A little.
But yeah. that whole, I mean, like, let's talk about husbands and wives for a second.
Sure.
That whole scene at the end where she, because like he, Sean Penn can't decide if he is like the worst person ever. And she doesn't say, like, it's okay. I mean, like, she does, but, like, she says it in a way that's like, this is why you did it. And it's true. And this is why I'm okay with it.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't like he's just walking around shooting people like a crazy eyes, but, I mean, it's still fucked up.
Well, what it seemed like to me is it seemed like she knew that he could grow bigger and become... It was almost like an origin story of how someone became like
a
mob
pep
boss.
Talk. Yeah. You could be the king of the city.
You could run this city, yeah.
And that it was at that moment where Brad's like, I think he was my favorite of Spicoli. Like, legit said it. And I was like, awesome.
So I just think that, so she's completely behind Jimmy no matter what. Laura Linney is.
Yeah.
And Celeste is, you know, she thinks that Dave killed the girl and she doesn't, you know how to handle it. And he's already kind of weird anyway. and then we have, the sequence that, or the section that doesn't work for me at all. And it's the thing that doesn't really irritate me, but I kind of wish it wasn't in there is Sean and his, wife/ex-wife.
Yeah. Why does that matter?
Yeah, because it did, you know, and then at the end they just put a little bow on it and then she shows up at the
plane. You
know
what I'm assuming is that the book is written from his point of view.
Well,
as a detective.
I would imagine.
So that's...
And I would imagine in the book that she calls and you get more about
right.
what happened. And
instead of just heavy breathing.
Yeah, and she just...
I mean, that's kind of what... I think we're on the same page there where he obviously was the first... You know, the narrator of this, and so that, that could have been taken out for me too, and I would have been fine with it.
Right. So, I did make the note that I said, oh god, does this Catholic bullshit make me sick? You know, when they're doing all that, and I'm like, oh, just get through this.
Yeah, his tattoo on his back, Sean Penn, is like the most Irish Catholic thing I've ever seen in my life.
Mm-hmm. And I'm just, you know, I'm sitting there thinking, can I just get a break from the Catholic stuff? Like, I should have thought this out better. Every time I see it, I'm just like, ugh, yuck.
Why?
I just don't want to see it anymore after getting out of that now. Like, not having to deal with Catholicism.
Oh, fair enough.
See what I'm saying?
Yeah, I got to mock it from afar, so that's...
Well, I like to mock it now, just because...
Mock it good. Super Boondock Saints. That shit is badass.
So another one of the things that I was kind of confused by, much like the he's damaged goods thing,
yeah,
was we have this police officer who comes away from the crime scene where Katie has finally been discovered.
Yeah.
And he says, I never seen anything like that before in my life.
Yeah, and you're expecting chunks of dead prostitutes.
Yeah, it's a dead girl, and that's she's just dead.
She's like laying there. Maybe it's because her eye, like one of her eyes, was like half open.
I guess, but it's not like a shocking
no
anything. And so it's just little lines like that where I'm like, what does that really need to be in there? Like, what is that there for?
I have no idea. I also thought that was weird because I couldn't remember how they found her,
mm-hmm.
and so I was like, oh shit, is this bad? I don't remember this being bad, and it wasn't.
Yeah.
I mean, it was obviously she's dead, but I mean,
uh-huh.
It wasn't like Black Dahlia or something where they like slice her face open.
Yeah, really. It wasn't like Tell No One where they were box cutting her face.
Sure, but you know, that was in the name of love. Box cutting in the name of love, so.
That's the name of your next book.
Yeah.
It's good.
One of my favorite lines is when Kevin Bacon's talking about the Savage Brothers and he calls them fucking knuckleheads, by the way.
I do like that too.
And okay, so go ahead. Were you saying words?
Oh, I was just going to say that I think that the cast in general is really good in this.
Yeah, agreed. Casting director is forgiven for the two shitty casts at the very beginning.
Yeah, for the 30 seconds of screen time earlier.
Yeah.
That was,
Except for the Laura Linney accent. I just don't understand why she couldn't get her shit together there.
I don't know. I don't get it. It makes me think that Blake Lively did almost a better job.
No.
Yeah, but she's so trashy. She could be so doped up. She doesn't know what she's saying.
She's talking Cockney at you.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not that hard to talk with a Boston accent. I don't understand what the problem is.
Audition tape, there it is.
But, like, you can tell she has, like, practiced certain phrases, and then, like, when she's trying to be emotional, she's like, and I just don't, I'm really just sad, you know? And you're like, damn it, keep it together.
Come on, Laura.
Leonardo DiCaprio would never have this problem.
Take two. Yeah, so I think that, like I already said, I thought that the "Is that my daughter in there?" thing really got me this time. I thought that that was really good.
Yeah.
And then moving on a little bit, like the when they're going around and they're talking to different people and they meet Brennan, the cops do.
Smalls.
Yeah, and they talk to Brennan's mom.
Yeah.
In the background, like is she like she's the worst? You
she
know.
Is.
And I famously don't care for the fighter, which is like a big no-no apparently.
Oh, I'm not in love with it either.
And one of the reasons why I don't like it is because I think that Melissa Leo and the sisters in that film are just such cartoons. And then when people tell me, no, that's how people are there, okay, I'm never going there then.
That's not right. That's how five people are there.
Right. And so that's exactly what this woman was portraying in this as well. And I was like, ugh, no.
Yeah, and Amy Adams is in The Fighter, so.
Mm-hmm. You're not a fan?
Oh, remember we talked about this during Superman?
Oh, right, and Amanda Steele. Yeah.
She just makes me mad. All right. She tries to be all these. Anyway, okay, so I don't know where you want to go with this. I have, like, my wrap-up ready.
Okay, well, let's see. Before we do the wrap-up, one of the things that I do like is kind of the forgotten actor in this is Lawrence Fishburne.
I know!
You know, you don't – it's like you think of the three main guys and, oh, Lawrence Fishburne's in this.
Oh, yeah, Lawrence Fishburne's in this.
And yeah.
There's, like, little cameos – not cameos, but, like, people who – hadn't been established at that point and were just like in, you know, like Emmy Rossum. This was like pretty close. I don't know.
Yeah, it's one of her first like grown up things, I think.
Yeah, and if like she was shameless Emmy Rossum, she would have never gotten herself killed, just so you know.
Oh, well, I haven't seen that movie or the TV show.
Yeah, it's she wouldn't, Fiona would never deal with that shit. But,
all right. But yeah, I mean, Fishburne had obviously done The Matrix before this, but it's just kind of. He's not really billed as being that main of a character, I don't think.
And I think he did okay, but like it's just like it could have been almost anybody in that role. Do you know what I mean? Like
yeah.
he didn't get a chance to like Lawrence Fishburne the shit out of that.
Mm.
It was just like Kevin Bacon's sidekick that helps Kevin Bacon figure shit out.
Yeah, I think I liked that section more than you did then, because I really like how they are kind of working on the case together, and he wants to go after Dave, and Sean is kind of like, no. Let's take a look at this other guy. What's the deal with this former buddy of his and all this stuff?
Yeah, no, I mean, like, I liked that they worked together, but I'm just saying, like, I'm more used to seeing Lawrence Fishburne play a different kind of role, I guess, and... That could have been like not anybody, but it, like that relationship could have been played by another person, and it still would have been okay
because
he didn't Lawrence Fishburneize the character.
I gotcha. Well, it was going to be for a while Forrest Whitaker.
Ugh, okay, I'm glad it wasn't.
Instead,
well, he wouldn't have. I mean, like those are such like. Do you get what I'm saying? Like they're such big actors that they need like a. character to play, and this was kind of a.
It was more two-dimensional.
Every man, yeah, okay. Yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, that's fine.
I know it does. I said it out of my mouth, so.
Yeah, there you go. Okay, so here's the part where I was, you know, I wrote this down, and I was gonna skip over this, but this is when I was not remembering who did it still.
Okay.
And so I was like, well, I really like how it's immediately clear that Dave did it. But I guess it's a mystery as to why he did it, not who did it.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Like, the reason behind it. Because, you know, he's looking at her all creepy at the bar.
Yeah.
And so I was like, oh, well, you know, I guess that's what happened. And I was like, nope, now I remember. And then I put...
JK, I really, JK.
Yeah. I really like how the film so clearly points you in one direction.
That's what I'm saying. It really does. They should have been like, Mystic River, Tim Robbins killed somebody.
Mystic River, colon, Tim Robbins is the bad guy.
Right.
Yeah. That'd have been good. And then you walk out and you're like, that's bullshit. He didn't do anything.
God, that is as bad of a title as Devil in a Blue Dress.
Yeah. So let's talk about the end. What do you have to say about this? Obviously, this is the spoilers. So if you haven't seen this or haven't seen it in a while and forgot like I did.
Me too.
You may want to skip.
What I'm going to start doing. I'm going to wait like 5 years in between watching movies. It's like a whole new movie for me.
Yeah. You're like, hey, I never saw this. Oh, I remember some of it. That's why I like to watch stuff when I'm really drunk, because then it's like a brand new movie.
Right, or like I fool myself into thinking that something happened and it didn't.
Yeah, it's good.
But like, so like I said, I felt like I either paid more attention or got a lot more out of this viewing than I had recently in the past. And I feel like for most of the characters, the end justified the means.
Mm.
It's like almost like karma came full circle on all this.
Well, not really for... You mean like Jimmy's daughter dies?
And
that's what he deserves?
Kind of. And I'm not saying deserves, because that's a mean thing to say.
Okay.
But like, he killed Ray Harris.
Just Ray.
Just Ray.
Mm-hmm.
And then just Ray's kid kills his kid.
Right.
So like, that's pretty karma.
Sure. But then, you know, Jimmy also kills Dave.
Right, and Dave's the one that gets the shaft.
Yeah, Dave just... It should have been called Mystic River, Dave just takes it.
Right,
because he's taking it, literally.
Yeah, and I also feel sorry for the boyfriend, because he really didn't do anything, except for he was that shitty guy's kid, but what are you gonna do?
Mm-hmm.
But, like, Marcia Gay Harden basically turns on her husband, and then she's sad that he's dead. Well, maybe, like I said before, communication is key in a relationship. So you should have probably asked him flat out if he killed her.
Well, because he gives her the opportunity, because he goes, what do you think, Celeste? Do you think I killed her?
Right. And she's like, I don't know. I'm just going to kind of walk around in my house coat and be weird too.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you should have, you know, sat down and had a conversation. We need to talk about how you kill people. And he would have been like, guess what? I did it. Boom. She wouldn't have gone to Sean Penn and his weird drinking, like, shot after shot friends.
Oh, yeah. The Savage Brothers or whatever they're called.
Ooh, damn. Brad was like, that's how you drink. I'm like, no, that's how I get alcohol poisoning and die.
That's how Brad drank in Kansas City.
No. Maybe. I don't know.
Maybe. Wasn't there, didn't have to worry about it.
Yeah, I didn't. So, I mean, yeah, I feel like Tim Robbins is and the boyfriend are the only two that, and obviously the one that died.
Mm-hmm.
But everyone else kind of had a path that they were taking, even like Kevin Bacon, you know, like everybody kind of had a path they were going in, choices that they made, and kind of worked itself out, I guess.
Yeah, because Kevin Bacon, you know, everything kind of is pretty rosy for him, really.
Yeah, except for, like, he doesn't get karma for not telling his cop buddies that he knows that somebody killed somebody else.
Yeah, he does.
He just, like, gives him the Shooter McGavin at the end, which is apparently a get-out-of-jail-free card.
Yeah, he does, like, the weird bend of his thumb.
Yeah.
Like, I always did the thumb straight up when I was having, like, the phantom gun.
Yeah, me too.
You know, so I do that a lot. So, you know, I analyze the thumb.
I know, I'm doing it right now, actually, as we're talking. I don't know.
It looks weird when it's half down.
That's what she said.
And I said, sorry, that's just how it is.
Right. Sorry, yeah. Lady.
Sorry about it. So I think that, you know, once we get the mistake killing and the revelation that it was the, you know, Silent Ray or whatever you want to call him.
Yeah.
That had been involved. I kind of wish that the movie had ended there.
I totally agree with you.
Because then I feel like we have this extra ending of the, oh, you know, you could run this town and this parade and the wife who had apparently been like 2 minutes away from wherever Sean was when she was calling. Because he's like, oh, why don't you come home, baby? And then she shows up in this parade, like, right away.
Yeah.
So I'm like, okay, everything's just totally fine, even though she, first of all, moved out, and second of all, wouldn't talk to him for whatever reason. And then, you know, she just comes back, like, right away for, again, no real reason. So, I don't know. So that ending, I was kind of like, all right, like, wrap it up here, Clint.
Yeah, I didn't understand that either, why there was, like, it was almost like an epilogue where it's like, and everybody went on their way and waved at each other. It's like the end of American Pie where they're all, like, waving at each other.
Yeah, it seemed to me like this is the beginning of how Sean and Jimmy were now going to be, like, one was going to be the captain of the police.
Yeah, it was like an origin story.
Yeah. And so I was like, okay, where's Mystic River 2, like, more Mystic?
Tim Robbins' ghost.
Yeah. He's still the bad guy.
I think Tim Robbins' ghost killed this person, and then they, like, do, like, an exorcism and shit, and it turns out it's, like, the kid down the street.
That's good. It's Just Ray's grandson.
Oh, my God.
That's who did it. And his name is still Just Ray.
It is. It's just actually Ray Ray, and he was, like, a rapper or something.
Sounds good.
I feel like Sean Penn was not nearly as disgusted with himself for accidentally killing someone as he should have been.
Well, he was drinking out of a small bottle.
Yeah, after he'd been taking shots all day, but...
Yeah, it was the old hair of the dog there.
Ugh, if I ever have Jack Daniels straight out of a bottle be my hair of the dog, I'm going to check myself into rehab.
Sounds good. You heard it here first.
Somebody come get me.
Yeah, so, I mean, I feel like I'm complaining a little bit about the film, but I really enjoyed it. It was one right. that I was glad that you picked it, because I was like, oh, yeah, I do really like this film. Like, I like it more than I remembered I did.
Yeah, me too. It had a little more... I must have been not paying attention or drunk in college when I watched it the first time, because it kind of peeled the onion for me a little bit watching it this time.
Yeah. So, yeah. I think that's all that I have. Do you have anything else, Cruiser, before we wrap this one up?
No, next time I see you, I'm going to shooter you, though.
Shooter me. That's...
Yep.
Yeah, that's not an actual threat. You don't have to call the police.
Yeah, popo.
Yeah. All right, well, why don't you wrap us up, Cruz?
All righty. If you have any comments for the show or movies you'd like to hear us talk about, please feel free to email us at plainlabelpodcast@gmail.com. You can also follow the show over at Twitter at Plain Label Pod, and you can follow Eric at EricWilliams79 and me at LadyZLag. We also have a Facebook page where you can like the show to start to Plain Label Podcast. If you like the show and you want to help us out, go over to our website, plainlabelpodcast.tumblr.com, and you can find an Amazon link that takes you to Amazon's homepage from ours, and you can bookmark it. And then anytime you buy anything from Amazon, you'll be helping us out. Thank you for listening, and we'll be back in 2 weeks with more murder mysteries. Bum, bum, bum.